to Expounded Universe, Season 6, Episode 10, Space Invaders and Asteroids. The book, Vector Prime, by R.A. Salvatore. The year, 2000. Chapters 19 and 20, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go already!
So you're saying that Luke Skywalker is extorting the New Republic? Also, the fact that they named it with her last name and the name, that's tacky.
Oh. I shitted and farted and came.
Welcome back to Expounded Universe, the Star Wars Expanded Universe novel discussion podcast. I'm your host, John, joined as always by your host, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, if I'm going to be Jeff, then I'm the one who gets to ask how you're doing.
Fine. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
You know what? I find that question offensive.
You know what?
After all these years.
So do I.
Anyway, no, really, how are you doing?
I'm so full of juice.
Oh, yeah, because none of that thing you've been drinking has been juice.
Yeah, but I'm also full of juice.
Oh, okay. You're
still, well, I mean, just body juice in general.
Just full of nasty juices.
I'm full of nasty juices. Yeah. It's me, John. Nasty juices, boy. Everyone knows John as the guy who shows up to parties, and they're like, ooh, is that nasty juice? And I'm like, yeah, that was my nickname in high school and remains my nickname to this day.
He's just like you or me. Prick him with a pin. Does he not spray juice to 20 feet?
It's me, Nasty Juice. Come see me spin this weekend. DJ Nasty Juice.
I know you're talking about DJing, but I would prefer to just watch you spin.
Just watch me go to spin class just, this weekend.
I just want
to
watch you stand in place and spin, like you're trying to activate a magical girl transformation sequence.
Let me tell you something.
Turn into Linda Hamilton. Wait, no, not Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, I'm going to turn into Linda Hamilton.
Not even her at all. Linda Carter. That was who I wanted.
But it would be great if I spun around and then turned into Linda Hamilton.
Honestly, either one would be pretty cool.
I'd be like, whoa.
Oh, shit, I'm Linda Hamilton. Well, off to what I assume is my huge fucking house.
Great. Neat.
Have to assume that.
So anyway, yeah, I did used to actually spin around a lot when I was a kid. It was my favorite thing to do, is just stand in a place and spin. Arms out, spin around. And your arms have to be out when you do this. It's important.
I'm glad we're finally getting some real details on your childhood.
Actual details of my childhood.
This is unusual. Normally we shroud it behind the mask of marshmallows and ghost books.
But when I wasn't reading a ghost book given to me by my butler, I would stand in place, arms out, and spin around. And also, it's important that your head is cocked to the side.
Oh, that's weird.
So head to the side, arms out. Kind of looks like I'm a broken one of those, you know, those like spin things where it's like got the arms out and then it flies away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like then they fly right into the fireplace and yeah, it makes a great vine.
It makes a great vine.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. There's sky dancers if you're selling them to 10-year-old
girls. Nasty.
And they're
Miss Jackson if you're nasty.
They're Miss Jackson if you're nasty. No, there was a version aimed at preteen boys that was like Wing Warriors or something.
Great.
I'd never actually seen one in person.
But yeah, you do that and then it gets real dizzy up in there and you're like, oh,
so is cocking
I don't
your head
do drugs, but this is the best high I can get as like a 9-year-old or whatever.
Is cocking your head part of the
oh, it's part of it.
Part of it. I just didn't, I don't know. I didn't do a whole lot of spinning when I was a kid.
Oh, you missed out.
I mean,
that is like the nitrous of being a little kid.
I mean, when I was a little kid, I mostly got high off choking myself. I don't know if that's that.
Oh, you were just ahead of the curve then, I see.
Don't worry. I used my own hands. So there was a built-in safety net. I can only choke myself as far as unconscious. I would do that all the time because, you know, when you're living on the streets,
you know,
not allowed in your house, and you're tired and you want to go to bed, the easiest way to do it is just choke yourself unconscious.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you get a real good feel for how long it takes to choke someone else out.
Yeah. Which is important drifter skills.
Oh, yeah. You got to be able to know how to choke someone out if you're a 9-year-old living on the mean streets with nothing but your wits and a pocket full of dreams.
Oh, man. Nothing but my wits, a roller racer, two skateboards with a boogie board taped to them.
A makeshift bow and arrow.
Bunch of ninja stars I made out of the slats of a screen door I stole from a family. I mean, there was a point where my outdoor treasure collection was like the Ninja Turtles cave.
It's good. It's good that you were a weird garbage child.
I still have a taste for hot hose water. Like, oh boy, I love cold water and all, but you give me that first glug of hot hose water with a slug in it, and I'm like, hell yeah, brother. This is the life.
So...
Star Wars, maybe?
Star Wars, maybe. So the... Chapter 19, everyone has gotten back to Lando's, and they are attempting to decide what they are going to do about the incoming Wave O Coral Skippers.
Well, let's be clear. First of all, by everyone, we mean Luke and Anakin. Not Luke. We mean Han, Anakin, and Kip Duran.
Well, yeah. Luke and Mara are still gone.
Yeah, they're still gone. But we have the Han group has returned.
Yes.
Sans Chubis.
Sans Chubis.
That's our new podcast. I don't know what it's about yet.
Sounds like it's someone that had a banned book.
Honestly, Sans Chubis has got to be some kind of
the apocryphal
thing.
Mysteries by Sans Chubis. It's been banned in 27 countries.
It's spelled S-A-A-N-S. Both the A's have different accent marks on them.
Obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. But you first hear it, I think Sans Chubis, and I'm like, that's some weird Undertale slash thing, isn't it?
I don't
know what Chubis is, but Sans is a character from that, I think.
It certainly is, and I barely know that.
To me, I was like already too far into the game market to really be.
I'm glad that it took like 5 seconds before we went on a new digression.
You want me to stop this one? You want me to pause? Are we good? How are we feeling?
You fucking go for it, man. I ain't going to stop you or tell you how to live your best life.
Thank you. That's perfect. Because I was just going to say that that Undertale, I can't tell it apart from Homestuck at a glance.
Okay.
I think they're. One's a video game and the other one's a webcomic or something. But
yeah, I mean, stylistically, they have nothing to do with each other.
That's true. But for some reason, I just file them both away in the same part of my brain where I keep everything I think is stupid looking.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, anyway.
Now, hey, everyone on the internet, you can come after this guy.
I'm the guy. Throw buckets at me or whatever.
Throw buckets at me.
Yeah, that's a Homestuck thing.
Great.
Yeah, Homestuck is Man, I...
There was a second you were about to take a stand.
I was about to take a real stand. Because I was building into another digression that I have elected to skip.
So, Han Solo.
You know what, actually? No, it's fine. Go ahead.
You know what? Fuck this. This is no longer a Star Wars podcast. This is just us ranting. Hey, maybe if it's Jeff and John talks about stuff, we'll get 27 awards.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. We'll just win the Annie every year and never be like, hey, maybe we should stop nominating ourselves for the Annie.
So Han Solo is talking to Lando, and Lando is attempting to convince everyone they should just stay and fight for Dubrillion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am sure on one hand, this is because he wants to protect his investment.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to just leave this entire place that I have sunk so much money into, like literally every other project I have had.
Yeah. But then again, he's also like, oh, also, wait, you told me that they can pull the shields off things? Gee, if only I was the only person in the galaxy who had invented a machine that projects shields onto things.
Also, we're not going to get a lot of backup, and the actual, like, gun emplacements on the planet are going to be more powerful than just like relying on a Death Star or something.
Star Destroyer. Which they're summoning. They're like, oh, well, we can call the nearest Star Destroyer. And can I just mention real quick here that the names that the New Republic is giving all these Star Destroyers they're stuck with are bad.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, the Rejuvenator is only 3 days away.
That's the perfect name for a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, we name all our Star Destroyers after energy drinks.
The life water will be here shortly.
The Sobe Carrot Karma is on the way. The Rejuvenator. Get out of here with this shit. Ugh. I mean, I understand that those things all had names like the Night Hammer and the Decimator and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're like, let's try and be, I don't know, have a gentler perspective on things. I'm just like, you course corrected too far.
Yeah, the right thing to do is to copy Star Trek here and give them all names like the Stalwart and the Intrepid.
Yeah.
But instead, we're giving them these Healy names, which is so weird. This one's called the Band-Aid. The Kiss from Mommy on the Boo-Boo.
Dude, I would love to be the captain of the Kiss from Mommy on a Boo Boo.
People keep asking you if it's a translation issue.
You're like,
No. We wrote, we named that in Ourobesh or whatever common language everyone speaks.
That's right. We knew.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah, that's fine. The Kiss from the Mommy on a Boo Boo.
Oh, that was my favorite Seal song. Okay, I think we've gotten past page one now, so...
Well, hell, we've only been talking for 10 minutes. This is going to be a six-hour episode. Yeah, no problem.
No worries.
We'll just split it up.
Lando pretty much, in addition to trying to convince them, is also dancing around Han, who is...
looking for fights.
Oh, Han is, like, ready to throw down at a moment's notice.
Yeah, because the first thing he does is march up to Lando and be all like, oh, by the way, we delivered your stupid cargo to Moon Target Planet, asshole.
You're the reason he's dead. And he's like, what the fuck are you saying that for?
How would I possibly... It's not like I sent you there to kill your dog. It's not a nice farm upstate planet I sent you to.
Yeah, and so he is just, anytime anyone gets near him, Han is pretty much just being very aggressive to everyone.
Yeah, and you know, once again, it's understandable. His best friend of like 40 years has died.
Yeah.
But there are people who should be putting checks on him here and aren't, notably Leia.
Leia doesn't show up yet, but even when she does, she still doesn't.
Yeah. Like, there's points in these chapters where Anakin's like, come on, Dad, please forgive me, Dad. And she's just like, listen to your father. You're a dumb piece of shit. It's not that bad, obviously.
No, obviously not.
But she instead, what she does is much more effective. Nothing.
Yeah. She just sits there and goes, oh, Han's giving him that look. Oh, well.
I'm just thrilled that that dog is dead.
I just keep thinking of all these new things of furniture I can get.
He was getting so old, Han. Come on. He had three kinds of mange. Demodectic.
Didactic.
Tertiary.
Demodoggin.
Dromedary.
They're like, we've got a bunch of ships and whatnot. We're just sort of lacking in pilots because obviously everyone that was here doing the belt running game is just smugglers and they are going to fuck right off.
Yeah, they're not going to help. Because we'll be like, hey, can you want to help us fight a
giant swarm of murderers?
Planetary invasion kind of thing. And they'll be like, no, we want to go away.
I'd rather not.
I'm surprised there isn't a moment where Han's like, oh, you know what? Actually, now that I remember I'm a smuggler too. Peace out and goodbye.
You know what? Fuck all of this.
I need to go find another Wookiee to enslave for life.
They are trying to find ways to essentially prepare for the oncoming storm.
Yeah, and they've got lots of neat things that they're setting up. Like, the gun emplacements on the planet are super important. Lando has multiple shield ships left over from his old... hot planet venture whose name escapes me. Hot planet. It's like Ryza or something. Everyone there was all sexy and wearing a one-piece shimmery bathing suit.
And of course, Han, because he's got Cernpid all fresh in his mind, he's like, go send patrols out on this planet and look for craters or weird fucking hearts with blue spikes or whatever. I just want to make sure no one pulls the moon down on this planet.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because this is a dual planetary system. We've only talked about Dubrillian over and over again, but there's another planet that they're kind of orbiting the same point.
Yeah, it's twin planets, Dubrillion and Destrillion.
Destrillion, which apparently is inhabited as well, but not as important. I don't know.
Anyway,
meanwhile,
Leia shows up and is like, oh, Han, I heard about your dog and I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, what do you think of this carpet color?
And
it's called not Wookiee brown.
There's this point where she goes and hugs Han and Han's like basically just burying his face and trying not to have a complete fucking breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And she pulls back and is like, oh, yeah, he died saving Anakin. And I'm like, that's interesting that you would say that. And then just Han immediately goes like,
that fucking boy?
Yeah, he's like, no, no. He left Chewbacca to die. He left him. And Leia's like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, if Anakin had a chance to go rescue, you know, the person who's been very important to him for his entire life, you'd think he'd take a crack at it.
Yeah, it's great that Han, after some badgering, is like, yeah, no, Anakin left him on the planet to die. And Leia's response is, oh, well, I'll just be quiet and not say anything.
Yeah, we'll just clam up about that then. Meanwhile, I guess we're going to go check on Anakin himself.
Yeah, he's talking to his siblings, or basically just Jaina when we first meet him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, there is nothing I could do. Like,
yeah, but he's still blaming himself anyway. He's not in a happy situation.
No, but he's like, the atmosphere was already on fire from the moon crashing into it.
Yeah,
like
I couldn't see him. Dad swears he could see him for a split second.
But even then, it would be while we were on the way out, which means if we had turned around, we would have just been dead anyway.
Yeah. Jason comes stomping in and he's like, all right, tell me what you did and what you didn't do. Like, he's just, hi, I'm Jason. I'm going to be the arbiter of whether you're in the right or the wrong here.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is he goes in and instead of trying to be like sort of sad comforting, he's just very logic comforting.
Yes.
It's like Spock trying to give you a pep talk.
Yeah, or Data trying to do it.
He's like,
I've been watching TNG again recently. Well, so I've got Data on the brain.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But he just sort of comes in and he's like, all right, if the atmosphere was on fire, it means the moon was already basically crashing into it. How far along were you? Like, where were you when this happened?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, straight up force uses brain manipulation and is like could you have saved him?
Yeah, he force polygraphs Anakin at one point. He's just like, oh yeah, the atmosphere was on fire, that's moon compression. You had like 2 seconds.
If you had even turned around to try to get him, you would have just crashed into him or near him.
Yeah, you wouldn't have even made it to him. You would have just, okay, you know what? Let me ask you this. Could you save him? Mm-hmm.
And he just force goes like, all right, without you being able to be like lying to yourself, he's like, I will force you to tell the truth,
yeah,
using my magic wizard powers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no,
I couldn't have saved him. And Jason's like, all right, then you didn't do anything wrong. And he just turns and stomps right back out of the room.
Oh, yeah. And I do like that he's like, oh, but Dad. And he's like, Dad is not half as angry as Chewbacca would have been in his final moments if he saw the person he just saved fly back and murder everyone on that ship.
Yes. Yeah. He has a couple of cool things to say here, does Jason?
Yeah. He's like, do you think Obi-Wan would have been super thrilled if Uncle Luke had just run back in when he was fighting Vader and been like, oh, fuck it, I'll die too.
I mean, in that situation, you'd be like, oh, Obi-Wan's fighting Vader. I should run over there. Anyone's better at sword fighting than these two old.
Oh, yeah. It's the best fight.
It really is. I've read, I've not only have I seen people try to reduce, have you ever seen the CGI review of that? It looks so much worse.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's so much better when it's just two old guys testing each other's defenses.
Yeah, no, I'm like, when they're doing it, it actually looks like people with real swords trying to, like, test out before they commit to anything.
They're just not doing all those flippy shit that they did in the prequels.
Exactly.
Because they're like, if you do flippy shit, someone just holds the sword out and you cut yourself
Look,
on it.
I've watched two people get cut in half by trying to do flippy shit. I ain't doing it anymore.
Yeah. From now on, I stand here and I try to force probe you into giving up, and I guess there's kind of a sword involved.
So that pretty much does it. Like, Jason, at this point, needs to leave because he's also super sad about you, and he's like, there's only so much game face I can keep on.
Yeah, so he's going to go off to have his private sad moment. Jaina's not worried about that kind of shit, so she's going to go over and give Anakin a nice hug.
Yeah, and he just cries into Jaina.
Yeah. And we cut ahead a little ways, basically, to when they're getting ready to go out and fly. Now, obviously, Han's going to take the Falcon, and he's going to fly up there, because he's real, real mad about Chewbacca, and he wants to take it out on some aliens.
Yeah, I mean, The Rejuvenator is about 3 days away,
mm-hmm,
and the invasion force is going to hit in 2 days. So they're like, all right, we got to do something.
The nice thing about it is that when the Rejuvenator hits, that does finally arrive in 3 days, everyone's going to feel summertime fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be like a blast of cool Irish waterfalls.
Right up your booty hole.
fucking rejuvenator. Why don't they have a ship just called the Barry Blast?
So, yeah, when Lando's like, I assume you'll be taking the Falcon up there, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to murder motherfuckers.
I'm going to kill people. And they're like, well, you're going to need gunners. No, none of you can go with me. None of you. Absolutely. I mean, sure, he's like, no more deaths today, please.
Well, yeah, because his kids are like, well, we're going to go up there, and he's like, the fucking hell you are.
That's great.
I do not need any of you as a co-pilot.
Leia can at least badger her way past him, because she's like, I'm going with you. You need a co-pilot. And he's like, and she goes, if you try to have this argument with me, you will lose.
Like, you already know that I will beat you. You may as well skip to the part where you're like, okay, fine.
Yeah. You might as well yes, dear, this shit, because that's where this is going to draw. And then the kids come in, and obviously we're going up, too. And he's like, no.
No. And they're like, we're the best pilots here. Like, we are literally your best chance at beating things. What are you talking about? And he's like, no, I don't like it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, to be fair, they're like, well, we need starships. Who's got starships for us? And,
I mean, Lando's like, I got plenty, but they're all just the dumpster garbage that I was running around in the belt with, which didn't have weapons on it.
The Belt Runner ships don't have guns on them because they're just for games.
Yeah, and he's like, well, we can throw a laser cannon and a couple torpedoes on there, I guess.
Yeah, why not? Have fun. Plus, those things are historic relics. At this point in the timeline, all of those ships are like 35 years old.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I guess if they're keeping it up. I mean,
it's going up into space to fight in a bunch of F-86s. It's a weird. I mean, to be fair, it is their only defense.
And to be fair, it's not like the Millennium Falcon isn't fucking old as balls point anyway.
The Millennium Falcon airframe is easily 60 or 70 years old at this point in the timeline.
But it's still just the best ship that's ever existed. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So they do eventually convince Han, but he's basically just like, all right, you're going to stay in atmosphere near Belt Runner 1, the shield ship, and you're not allowed to leave the atmosphere, and you got to stay within range so that you don't die.
And no one's ever like, by the way, the whole thing with TIE fighters is they are not atmospherically stable. They're supposed to be in space.
Like, that's the worst place for them to be.
Yeah. I mean, as you can probably imagine, flying a ship that's shaped like an H isn't exactly the best.
You know, in space where it doesn't matter about aerodynamics, you're sort of fine. On a planet, though.
Where, you know, those big solar panels work just fine in space where no one cares about wind shear. But when you try and take these things into atmosphere, those wings tend to fall right off.
Oh, yeah. If I try to turn, my whole left side of the ship is just going to blow away.
Like the side of a barn in a tornado. But he's like, you stay here. It's safe.
Great.
They're going to land Belt Runner 1 and use it to defend ships that are defending the planet.
Well, yeah, because he's like, Belt Runner 1 has no defenses. If it's in space, it'll just get blown up.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping it down here, because at least if it's in dock, then it's got, like, the planetary defenses around it, so it has a chance.
Yes. And then there's a ragtag collection of other people who are going to go up and fight with them.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, they don't matter. Two or three of them get names, but they're a ragtag assembly.
Yeah, it's, you know,
there's a guy named Gouth, I think.
And like, Kearney.
Kluby or something like that. Kluby. I think it might be Kluby.
Kloob.
I'm pretty sure it's Kluby. Kluby and Sans.
It's definitely Sans and Chuby.
Yeah, Sans Chuby is in there as well. That's a good Star Wars name, really.
Right?
I could see that being one of, like, the pilots of a K-Wing on an X-Wing game card.
Yeah.
Sans Chuby. He's pilot skill 4, and he can do a thing.
Who knew?
Yeah.
He's got one power.
Yeah. He's from a book or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
He's from this book.
So, before they head out, Anakin is still super sad, because even though he's like, all right, I know logically I didn't murder Chewbacca and there was nothing I could do, it doesn't matter.
I'm getting nothing but hate waves from my dad. So,
because I'm already guilty and I'm just getting nothing but shit from my dad.
And as a 16-year-old, this is not an ideal situation.
Oh, no. He's like, I am a young child and this has scarred me.
Yeah. But of course, Han's giving him nothing. Han's
I'm
a dumb fuck kid.
We
can go ahead at this point and add Leia's just sort of detachment to that.
Oh, yeah. She sees Han give Anakin just like a fuck you look. And she's like, aw, he shouldn't do that. I'm not going to say he shouldn't do
that.
Good
thing that's not my kid.
Ooh, man, I would have raised them right. Oh, wait a minute.
I'm going to have a talk with whoever raised them. Winter, Chewbacca.
Aw.
Hethrir.
So, yeah. We get everyone sort of what they're going to do. We know where everyone is going. And then we cut to 2 days later when they are in space ready to meet the invading armada.
Yeah, the unstoppable horde of rock spaceships, which at this point they keep describing them as iridescent balls of coral. And I don't know if this is just me, John, but I can't help but picture these things as basically just like Fruity Pebbles.
Ah!
Or whatever, whichever one's the round ones. Trix, I think. I'm just picturing an invading army of giant Trix.
Good.
Is that...
I mean, that really helps my mental image of this. I'm not going to lie. I love that. Because in my mind, I was thinking basically pearlescent meteors.
Yeah.
But it's way better if just Trix are coming at them.
Yeah, like old-fashioned Trix. Because nowadays, I think the Trix have like fruit shapes or something. But if they were just like ball, like
just balls.
Cereal balls in various colors.
Cereal balls and milk.
With milk trails behind them, shooting balls of condensed lava milk forward. Little view screen in the front. Every 300 or so of these ships, one of them is a prize.
Ooh. Silly humans. This galaxy is for Vaughn.
That's what I was hoping.
So yeah, we go to Han and Leia are up in the Millennium Falcon, and for some unknown reason, they brought C-3PO.
Yeah, C-3PO, because they wanted someone annoying there just in case. And also, unmentioned until it's suddenly relevant, Kip Duran is with them.
Oh, yeah. Like, they had barely mentioned in the rest of this chapter, like, oh, yeah, Kip had mentioned, like, coral ships. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
And then now, they don't even mention him here. They have this whole talk about, like, oh, and C-3PO's babbling on, and I'm talking to Leia. And, like, after a couple pages, they're like, anyway, Kip's in one of the gunner spots, and you're like, wait a minute, what the fuck?
Huh? Who? This is like one of those like Endgame MCU movies where there's like 85 Marvel characters, and they can't go through the process of establishing why everyone's where they are. So they just pan over, and there's Bucky, and he's like, hey, hi.
I'm here.
Pan back over again. Don't worry about it, he's fine.
So, yeah. Leia decides, fuck it, you can fly, I'll also go into the other gun pod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and 3PO, meanwhile, is just being annoying babbling. He's like, I'm sorry I can't translate the language they're doing, but what I could do is take the language I'm hearing you guys speak and translate that into code. Would that be useful?
Huh? I could send that to someone, but they don't have me on the other side to retranslate it.
He's just babbling on about useless. He is more useless than usual.
Yeah, because I'm like, this is a tense battle situation, and he's on the bridge just yammering.
Yeah. Right to the point where Han gives the old shut him up or shut him down line in here. It's a variation, a wordier, stupider variation.
Yeah.
But we still get one. I'm like, why do you keep putting him on your ship then?
I mean, I feel like the group that they've got up here now, just from the writing, it seems like they end up doing a much better job than the dozen plus two Avengers.
Yes, no, they absolutely do. But then again, we knew this was going to happen. This is the standard progression of monolithic supervillains in Star Wars books, is that they're introduced to one or two of them that are unstoppable, invincible heroes, and then 1,000 of them show up, and they're chumps.
Which, I mean, I can kind of understand, because if you've got target saturation, even if you miss the one you're shooting at, you'll probably hit something.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. But, I mean, these guys are constantly flying into asteroids and just bumble-fucking into each other and stuff. These are less trained Yuuzhan Vong than Yeoman Carr.
Well, yeah, because even in the fight, like, we get a little bit over the radio, and it's barely anyone is like, oh, yeah, hey, my shields are gone, oh, whatever. And I go, yeah. Like, man, you had this squadron that was supposed to be the super badasses that have been flying together as a unit, and they just got clowned on.
Yeah.
And then some ragtag idiots from Dubrillion are like, yeah, fuck these guys.
Yeah, no, they're doing great. And plus, the Falcon is as good as it's going to get without Chewie's availability at this point. He's got Han, who's the best pilot of it, up in the front, with Jedi manning both the guns.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best Falcon it can be right now.
Yeah. So we, as the battle is joined, mm-hmm. we cut back to the kids down on Dubrillion just being upset that they are on guard duty.
Yeah, and flying what they constantly refer to throughout both these chapters as TIE fighters.
Yes.
Okay, good.
That will become relevant.
Yes.
Soon.
Shortly. keep with us, because apparently they're flying TIE fighters.
Ooh, TIE fighters.
The Sinar Systems TIE LN.
Crunny, by the way.
Crunny, right.
Crunny
right.
is the guy that we are looking for.
Is that
for.
The kind of donut you would like? Is
I would love a crunny. Oh my God, when we're done here, I want to get up in that crunny.
I know a good local donut place. They got good crunnies. They got they got good maple barps. All the donuts you like.
Everything you could possibly want. So the kids can hear all of the chatter going on while they're down there. So they can hear Crunny get fucked up and Gorth and whatnot being mm-hmm. like, oh, they're on my tail. Oh, thanks.
No, they got
thanks,
me.
Han Solo.
And now I'm an ex-Gorth.
Oh, Gorth.
The story of how he became a space worm. And Han and Leia and Kip are all in invincible main character mode, where every time they get to describe to what they're doing, they're just like, and then Han, with an afterthought, dispatches 7 of them using the front lasers of the Falcon, and then turns so that Kip could pick off another 6.
Yeah. So they are bored. And they're just like, well, fuck it. Let's at least go see what's happening. And they're like, we're not allowed to leave the atmosphere.
Well, yeah, what happens is Jaina's like, fuck it, I'm going to go up to the black space, which is just the edge of space, which is technically still in the ionosphere.
Yeah, I'm technically in the atmosphere.
It's the I'm not touching you of atmospheres.
Yeah.
But while she's flying up to have a look at what's going on, Belt Runner 1 gets taken out. Like, it gets taken out by planetary bombardment or something. So now they don't have shields no matter what, because they're just in fucking...
No, not yet.
Yeah, because
okay. They have to do the fight on the planet first.
Ah, all right, sure.
Because they have a fight where some of the Coral Skipper things manage to, you know, break past everyone, go down to the planet.
Oh, that's right. And they try to kill them, and they can't because the planet's guns get them.
Yeah, they're like, oh, let's go get them. And then the planet guns shoot them down. They're like, oh, goddammit.
Oh, goddammit. Now I got to wait for another spawn.
And then another one comes in, and they're like, ooh, we got this one. And because at that point, Belt Runner 1 is still working, they're like, we're not even dodging, whatever. We just run at you and shoot.
That's
you.
Right. They line up next to each other and they're like, fuck it. You can't get through our shields with this shit, and you can't pull our shields away because that other ship over there just keeps giving them back to us.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it, so fuck you guys.
Yeah. And they just fly up and blow up a couple of these ships.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, Belt Runner 1 gets hit.
Yeah.
And at that point, they're like, oh, shit.
Well, Jaina's immediately like, well, there's no reason for us to stay near the planet now. We don't have shields anywhere.
They're like, hey, he only wanted us to stay on the planet because that's where the shield generator was. But since there isn't one, now there's no reason to not go into space. And I like that they're like, that's not how logic works. And she's like, fuck you, I'm out.
Yeah, well, she just wants to go blow up aliens. And luckily for her, I mean, unfortunately for them, these TIE fighters that they're flying in, because they're TIE fighters, mind you, don't have personal shielding. That's not a thing that TIE fighters have.
Well, also, these things just don't have that because they've been modified to take the Belt Runner shields.
Yeah. So, but anyway, they fly up to help. They get out there and they blow up a couple more of the Coral Skippers, and then they are spotted by Han and Leia.
Oh, yeah. Because Han's up there and he's fucking around. He's shooting some stuff, and then he gets a distress call from some other fighter, and then he sees that, like, the things that were after it get blown away, and basically right as he's going, oh, sweet, new fighter shot. Oh, god damn it.
Oh, it's my kids. God, get down. He keeps saying break for planet, I think, or break to planet.
Yeah. Break for Dubrillion.
Yeah. Break for Dubrillion. And they're like, no, stop it. We're not doing that.
No, we're...
And he gets to the point where they're, like, describing him as apoplectic and red-faced and basically just pounding on a table and yelling the same thing over
and
over.
Oh, yeah. He is just needing pictures of Spider-Man at this point.
Yeah, he is. He has moved to the point where blood vessels in his eyes are popping open. I kind of picture him as being drawn by Crick Falusi right now.
Yeah, it's... And they know that there are no shields because they're like, oh, we're here because Belt Runner 1's down. He's like, that means you don't have any shields up here, though. What the
break
fuck are
you
doing?
Break for the planet, you dumb fucks.
There's too many. Get out of here. And they're like, nah.
Except for you, Anakin. You park your ship and sit there.
You think about what you did.
Until you die.
And eventually they're like, no, man, we're all going to break for the planet right now. Like, we've been pretty much overwhelmed. We're just going to go back and try and hope that the planetary defenses can hold them.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, great, we'll cover your retreat. Bye!
Yeah. And around here at some point, we get a break to see what's going on with the leadership of the bad guys.
No, not yet. Right?
Not yet? Okay.
No.
Well, then I guess we do the break first.
So, after all of them are like, oh, yeah, we're going to try and fucking fight them off, they get the bright idea of, you know, we've done the belt run before.
Oh, right.
These guys haven't.
That's Anakin's big idea. Anakin's like, hey, you know what? We know how to do the belt run. And no one's like, well, the belt run's random. It's random movement of asteroids.
It's not like you know the pattern of these asteroids. It's just you've been out there before.
Plus, all three of you right away learned to use the shields as part of the belt running strategy. So what are you, dumb?
Yeah, but nope.
They go in.
There's nothing they could do to stop them because basically as they go into the belt, the Millennium Falcon is just sort of surrounded by bad guys. They're like, there are just hundreds of ships between us and them. It's not like we could go help them.
Yeah.
So they have to break back to planet.
So they break to planet. The three kids go diving with their TIE fighters into the asteroid field.
Yeah.
And they are pursued by dozens and dozens of coral skippers, which immediately start blowing up against the walls and getting soggy in milk.
Well, at first, they're like, all right, this is probably not the best idea, because even though we are cool Jedis, we are also kids and not used to being under combat situations when we fly.
And unshielded, and in an asteroid field. And I keep having to point this out, no matter what kind of TIE you're flying, it doesn't have good side visibility.
No.
You're basically flying inside of a garage. Sure, the garage
doors... You're like a
doors,
horse with blinders
yeah,
on.
The garage doors open, but there's still walls on the garage.
And they have some trouble, and Jason's like, Jaina, just lead us the fuck out of here. Like, we're not doing anything here.
Well, because Jason tries to dive into the field and is immediately scared right back out of the field.
Oh, yeah. Like, he almost gets killed immediately upon entering the asteroid field, so he's like... All right, maybe no?
Yeah, maybe no is his basic plan, but then Anakin has a brilliant brain thing.
Oh, yeah. So Anakin has apparently been working on force mind linking, and he's like, all right, you two, open yourselves up to the force and just, like, give me your senses, follow my lead, I'm going to reach out to you, and you just give into my weird force power.
Yeah, and they're going to, with their triune might combined, they become the Order of the Jedi Triad.
Oh, yeah, at that point, they're just like, oh, well, now all of us can see everything from everyone else's perspective. We have full shared information.
Mm-hmm.
We have heightened, force awareness as well, because everyone's also joining in with their, like, force senses.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, they're just like, oh, we're unkillable.
Yeah, plus Jason is really good with animals. And Jaina does machines.
So they just start clowning on everyone at this point, because they are the super killers with three minds as one, and they are able to just, like, shoot people before they even come around asteroids. They're like, we'll be needing to shoot right there. And then, like, a ship comes by and runs into their blast.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just clowning on everyone and flying around in an asteroid with perfect accuracy and incredible amounts of information. Unfortunately, this is apparently very, very hard for Anakin to do.
Yeah. He is attempting to maintain control over himself and two other Jedi and process three people's, like, sensory and force information all at the same time, which eventually causes him to just completely lose his shit.
Yeah, he just kind of shorts out. The other two realize it's going to happen and can kind of guide their own way out of the asteroid field, but he is in dire straits. There's people bearing down on him. There's Vong coming in from all sides in their trick ships.
He clips an asteroid, which doesn't destroy him, but just sends him into a spin. So he is in a bad place.
And that's when he decides, okay, well, I'm probably going to die in the next couple seconds if I don't do anything. So I'm pointing myself towards the most black I can point at, if space.
Yeah.
And punching to hyperspace drive.
punch it.
So he punches to hyperdrive in his, according to these chapters, TIE fighter.
Jeff, I feel like you have something to say about that.
TIE fighters don't have hyperdrives.
And especially if you're talking about a TIE fighter that Lando was using, because in this chapter, they're like, oh, we could try and fit the Falcon with the stuff to make sure that, like, the shield
the belt runner
could do that.
Yeah.
But we'd have to take out just a load of stuff in there. Like, we had to strip everything out of these TIE fighters in order to make them be able to take this shield thing. I'm like, so that means you wouldn't have had room to then add a hyperdrive to a thing that didn't have one.
Now, here's the thing, though. Everything that's happening in this chapter is copacetic and perfectly fine, because my real complaint isn't that TIE fighters don't have hyperdrives, it's that they're not in TIE fighters.
And how do you know that?
Because we learned that in an earlier chapter when they made a big speech about how the shock couch inside of the TIE Advance X-1 is perfect for the purposes of running the belt. So this is a series for
two people.
No, that's the TIE bomber. They use the TIE bomber to stuff Chewie and Lando in, or Chewie and Han into for when they make their run. The others are doing TIE prototypes, specifically Vader's ship from the end of New Hope.
Are you sure there aren't any TIE fighters in there?
There might be some TIE fighters, but they made a big deal of talking about how the TIE Advance ended up just happening to be the perfect ship for this because it's so well built to handle, or it's got a big shock couch for a seat, which is actually a true thing because Vader's prototype was built around his big, dumb robot ass. So the seat in it is larger and more stabilized than usual.
There you go.
So they are not flying TIE fighters, which means, among other things, they don't have single shitty lasers. They have double lasers.
Well, those have been removed and put back in. Yeah,
they've had their own shield generators, which would have been removed to make room for the belt runner attenuators, and they do have hyperdrives. But you'd think those would have also been stripped to make room.
But anyway, I'm just saying
they're not TIE fighters. They make a big point of these things, these belt runner ships being TIE Advance prototypes, which is weird because ultimately those were prototypes and there was the one.
Yeah, but then they made a lot more.
They did. They show up in non-canon sources constantly.
Yeah.
Because they're cool looking.
They're like, yeah, of course we built a shitload of these.
Yes.
They look rad.
Yeah. They look rad, plus Vader had one, so if you just slap a coat of red paint on one, they start looking super badass, and, you know, some random moth definitely wants that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the hot ticket. That's the Firebird of getting a TIE fighter equivalent. It's not a TIE fighter. Anyway, he punches it to hyperspace.
Yeah. So, Jaina and Jason manage to make it back to planet. Like, they get out of the belt safely and get back to planet. The consequence of their little joyride into the asteroid belt, though, is that they fucked up a large portion of the invading ships that were coming in, so much so that the actual planetary defenses and remaining ships could defend against those that were coming in.
Yes.
So they actually, like, pretty much say, if they hadn't done that, we probably would have lost the planet.
Yeah, so basically, they saved everyone by virtue of the fact that the Vong are suicidal dummies.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they're the Vong.
Yeah.
They're so, like, well, these are the best, and I got to go murder them because they're the best, and I have to prove the Vong are the best.
Yeah, and those guys are, like, worthy or whatever.
Yeah.
We're the Vong, and we have a whole culture based on determining whether or not things are worthy.
So, yeah, everyone's super excited, except, of course, for them, because they have no idea what happened to Anakin.
Yeah, although Jason immediately is like, okay, he's not dead. I'd be able to tell if he was dead. I'm going to be very honest here, John. This is towards the end of this part of the cycle when they make this big thing with, like, what happened to Anakin? Where'd he go? He could have punched into a star or something. And I'm like, I don't care. He didn't. I'm pulling no suspense from this.
Hey, man, they killed Chewbacca. Anyone is fair game now. Except for Han and Luke and Leia.
Yeah, but they killed Chewbacca in a heroic, interesting way. If Anakin's whole thing was that he accidentally, like, jumped into a rock and died, like, no one would be excited by that.
That would be hilarious.
It'd be like, what happened to Anakin? Oh, yeah, he accidentally shot at a Destrillion. He's dead. He hit
his hyperdrive and just phased into a rock somewhere.
He punched his hyperdrive, and TIE fighters don't have those, so he...
So he ended up just punching his console, I guess.
And then he got killed by coral skippers. The end.
But, you know, the rest of the planet is, at least that gives them the like morale boost that they need.
Yeah, they're the heroes of Lando's Folly.
Yeah, they get to watch. They're like, oh, we watched three fighters basically become god mode for a while and clown on all of these ridiculous badass invaders. That at least inspires some hope in us.
And not just fighters, but TIE fighters, which instilled in all of us a great pride for the flagship symbol of the Empire.
Oh, yeah.
We're so proud of the Empire and their Sinar Systems TIE Advance prototype ships. Those things are so much better than X-Wings.
Yeah, so Jason and Jaina have to kind of explain to Han and Leia that, like, oh, we're in another chapter now, by the way. Whatever, we...
It's fine. Have we hit the point yet where the Vong have any words at all?
No.
Okay, great. Yeah, these two chapters are pretty focused.
Yeah, it's very focused on what's going on with these guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're like, oh, he had to just punch it. You know, when you punch it.
Yeah, he had to punch it because he was about to die. Man, I sure hope he didn't punch it with any kind of lingering resentments from any family members or anything.
Yeah,
because
I sure hope that, like, no one around here would... I don't know, regret that the last thing they ever said to him was that he was a terrible person. That would be awful.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet that would probably stick with someone until their bitter, acrimonious death.
You old fuck. I mean, that old
anyway,
fuck.
See you at Thanksgiving, Dad.
Yeah, so Han and Leia are just going to take off the Millennium Falcon and try and find him somehow.
They're going to use the Force. This isn't the first time Leia's pulled that move.
No, but it's one of those things where, like, Han, what do you think you're going to do?
Oh, he's going to go find his kid because he's Han, the guy who only reacts to things.
Yeah.
He has no sense of planning.
We jump over to Anakin, who is obviously still alive.
Of course, he's just floating out in space somewhere. Like, of course, his ship is too fucked up to just turn around and jump back because that would solve this problem.
Obviously.
Yep.
Plus, if you don't have a destination in mind and just hate your hyperdrive, you're like, I don't even know where I went to.
That's
true. I don't know how to get back to where I'm going.
It's not like TIE prototypes have an astromech to calculate the star charts for
you.
Yeah.
And so the big dual thing here between Jason and Anakin is both of them, because of what happened, realize that maybe the truth in their two philosophies is somewhere in the middle.
Oh, that's right, because we had that whole thing in the beginning of this book where Jason's whole thing was, no, you need to give yourself over to the Force.
It's all inner meditation.
It's all meditation, and Anakin was like, no, you need to apply the meditative practices to real-world jobs.
Yeah, he's like, I think the Force is an exterior tool to help, and he's like, I think it's an interior way to better yourself.
And then Jaina comes up to Jason at the end of this chapter and is like, yeah, so I don't know if you knew this, but Anakin's been working on this whole link a bunch of Jedi pilots into a single thing.
Like, his whole big plan is to have a Jedi squadron that is just unbeatable.
Yeah, it's called the Dozen Avengers, and not the Dozen Plus Two. It's called the Functional Dozen Avengers.
And so Jason,
the not dead Dozen Avengers.
Jason's like, oh, well, it turns out that it looks like Anakin was right all along. I guess the Force really is best used externally. And then when it goes to Anakin, he's like, oh, it looks like Jason was right all along. If I had been able to focus more on my own inner meditative qualities, I would have had the focus able to hold this mind bond.
Unfortunately, I shaved my head to afford the watch chain I bought for him.
Indeed. So the two of them have a little Force of the Magi moment.
Uh-huh.
And the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Thanks, South Park.
Okay. Yeah. God damn it.
And then we get to finally go to our good old pals, Dagara.
Yeah, Dagara is now talking
and
to his two
Mushraid.
Yeah, Mushraid. We've met Mushraid once before, but boy, is that ever a bad name.
But not as bad as Doogie Brolo.
Doogie Bro. I was going to say it's probably pronounced like Douge Bro, but...
No, it is Doogie Brolo.
These are, what are they? They're not prefects. They're the next thing down. Because Dagara is the prefect.
I think they all are.
Oh, they are prefects as well?
Because they're basically all leaders of their own world ship.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, Dagara is hanging around with Mushraib, who is notably the lady one of the pile of... The first female Vong who's gotten a name.
Yeah.
And
Doogie Brolo.
Doogie Brolo, which honestly is a great Star Wars name, and I've got no problems with it.
And they are just... recounting basically how things went. They're like, oh, so Dubrillion's still around? He's like, yeah, but that was the plan. I was just fucking with him.
Obviously, that was the plan all along. Everything is going as I expected. No, it
Phase
isn't.
Phase two!
You were hoping to win.
I got the ceramic puppy clown!
I don't know how many people have watched the new Invader Zim Netflix special, but good joke.
Definitely phase two went as expected, and they have a ceramic puppy clown
now. I get the impression we're going to see a lot of that every time we have to read one of these NJO books of the Vong losing, and then like some more important Vong going, yes.
Exactly as planned.
As expected.
All according to Kaikaku.
Yuzhan Vong's note, Kaikaku means plan.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, we just wanted to test out their defenses, see what kind of planetary defenses they have, see what kind of fighters they have, the pilots they use.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to see, like, what kind of stuff can we expect?
And also, in doing so, we want to make sure they get a good look at what we can do so that they can also counterplan against us. We're smart.
Oh, and also, we just want to lose just dozens and dozens of these fucking ships and warriors.
And it's not like Yuzhan Vong dudes are an easily... I mean, sure, you can probably fuck your way to a bunch more of them, but, I mean, you're killing a lot of your soldier base for people who came from another galaxy.
Oh, yeah. They're supposed to be the ones that are setting everything up, and I'm like, man, you are... You're really loose with the use of your soldiers here.
Yeah, you can't Longshanks this situation, man. You can't be like, arrows cost money. Send in the Irish or whatever. This isn't that situation. But we learn a few new exciting secret things about what's going on with the Vong here.
Ooh.
First of all, our big single-tooth Yamask monster man is expecting.
Our Yamask is going to be a mommy.
He's in a, or they're in a family way.
Which is great, I guess, because all of them are super excited and surprised by this.
I guess they knew that the Yamask was ready to spawn another Yamask, but they didn't think it would happen so soon.
Yeah, but then it's like, oh yeah, we'll take that Yamask, and once we take Dubrillion, we can have the baby Yamask drill into Dubrillion, and then have it be the War Canator.
Coordinator.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I wanted him to be the War Canadian, but he'll be the War Coordinator over there, and then our Yamask can just really focus on pumping out some babies.
Yeah, they're like, this Yamask needs to get busy and give us some grandchildren. I'm sick of these lonely Thanksgivings.
And so, you know, Doogie Brolo's like, hey, yeah, my dude, you need any of my coral skippers? He's like, no, I don't give
a
shit.
And by the way, he says with a menacing sneer and a new reveal, we think that Yeoman Carr's plan to overtake that planet, Belkadan, is almost done, which means it should be ripe for growing new York coral.
Ah, yes, York coral. I knew it, Horatio. Oh, <wow.
laughs> A coral of most infinite jest.
So, yeah, they are just yammering on about dumb nonsense.
Well, I mean, we do learn, that's an interesting thing to learn, that they didn't just fart planet Belkadan to death, that it's actually for a purpose, and it's so they can grow more spaceships there.
Yeah. They are trying to get to a level of sustainability. They're mm-hmm. like, all right, if we can get more Yamasks, then we can start doing war coordination farther out.
Ultimately, they need to spawn more overlords.
We need additional pylons, guys.
We must construct additional pylons.
So they're like, all right, we got a fart planet for growing ships on.
Mm-hmm.
We got an ice planet for growing tentacle brains with one tooth. Yeah.
We took a Ryza so we can fuck our way to have a bunch more soldiers. You guys all have your I want to fuck statues, right? You know those?
You know.
That little brown statue you carry with you on Ryza if you want to fuck.
You know, you all put that red handkerchief in your left pocket.
That's one of my favorite TNG episodes, is the one where they convince Picard to go there, and Riker has to, like, trick him into carrying the fuck statue.
Here, have this fuck stick.
Take this statue. The people who live there will know what it means. And I feel like he'd have a real stern talk with him when he got back up there. Like,
also,
don't give me fuck statues, Riker. That's completely uncalled for.
Also, Picard is a very worldly and known captain who has been in Starfleet for a while. You'd think he'd know about fuck planet.
Yeah.
Like, even if he didn't partake, he'd be like, Oh, yeah. Back when I was, like, a lieutenant on someone else's ship, we had shore leave at Ryza, and people would take the fuck statues. I know what this is, Riker.
If nothing else, he'd do the research before he'd held down. He'd be like, what's going on? You know what? I want to make sure I know what my days at Ryza are going to be like. Maybe I'll sign up for a couple of art classes or something.
Also, because he is, like, an archaeologist and whatnot, he'd be like, I wonder what the significance of this statue is.
Oh, I should go and look this up. And then he'd...
I don't think he would be upset, because he'd be like, you know, Riker, I don't know why you're concerned about my dick moisture and how wet it is.
Riker's concerned about everyone on the ship.
Riker is like, hey, I know Deanna's the counselor, but are you feeling okay? Are you getting enough fuck?
He's specifically the fuck counselor of the Enterprise.
Are you boning down enough? Look, yeah. we gotta do something. If it was him instead of LaForge that walked in on Barclay in that holosuite, he'd be like, ha ha, what, did you take one of mine?
I love that I just got to the next Barclay episode in my marathoning through, and he does it again.
Of course he does.
LaForge is like, yeah, just walk into holodecks. Who gives a shit? Anyway, digressions. Aren't they great?
Anyway, yes, the end of this is just Han and Leia flying out to try and find their baby boy. And of course, Leia's like, wait, I can hear him. The Force, remember? Remember the Force?
And I'm surprised Han isn't like, hey, remember that one time when this happened and you just followed a trail of pure dark side to them? You want to do that again, you Force witch? You killed Chewbacca.
It's your fault.
I haven't figured out how yet.
Oh, you had babies, and if you hadn't had babies, I wouldn't have had Anakin, which means he wouldn't have killed Chewbacca, so you killed Chewbacca. It's me, and I'm a bastard.
Everyone killed Chewbacca but me. Or Chewbacca.
Chewbacca killed Chewbacca in order to spite me.
When you killed Chewbacca, you looked just like this. I don't want to go really high-pitched. I'm not good at that.
I know.
It's fire.
I know.
Anyway, John, that's chapters 19 and 20, huh?
Yeah. We got some good action, some forward movement.
We only got 6 chapters left in this book, so there's a lot of cleanup to do.
Yeah, we got 3 episodes left.
Yeah.
And because this is the beginning of, like, an actual new full several book threat.
19, I think, yeah.
It's not like this is going to wrap anything up particularly.
No, but I think they'll probably regroup everyone. I feel like Luke and Leia Mara are going to make their way back, and I think we'll probably get something with the story, because there's still Danny and Miko to think about.
Yeah.
So there's disparate threads for which to wrap.
Oh, I know. I'm just like, man, you got a lot of shit to do, but I don't think you have to do it, because at least with this, unlike the other books where they're like, oh, we left every thread to wrap up in the last 2 chapters.
Yeah.
At least with this one, they're like, oh, we don't have to, because this is actually a multi-book spanning thing.
Plus, I feel like they're going to be doing Nominor as a character who doesn't even do anything in this book. He just sort of...
You know it's going to be cool.
He just starts shit and flies away. So I'm pretty sure we've got him to think about. We've got Danny and Miko. There's a lot of interesting stuff to be wrapped up coming up in the last couple of episodes.
Hell yeah.
So come along and join us, won't you? I had a thought I was going
to... You had a thought, and then you tried to think it.
My finger went up, and it just sort of deflated. Don't worry, happens with lots of fingers.
So thank you so much for joining us. As always, we have been Expounded Universe. If you like us, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/systemmastery.
At the $2 level, you will unlock the bonus content for Expounded Universe. We call it Expanded Expounded Universe, and it is us doing deep dives into Wikipedia to find topics of interest or a note that we share with each other and with you, the listener.
That's right.
It's about a half-hour episode. We do them 4 times a month, so your $2 donation turns into $4 a month on average, which turns into 4 bonus episodes on average, plus another 2 bonus episodes of the other show. So they're like 75 cents each. It's a ridiculous deal.
Yep, we're dumb. We're just handing them out.
Just standing at the corner store all day from 5 till 9, handing out the hot episodes. And dickings.
Also hot episode dickings.
Handing out them hot dickens. You get great expectations.
Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week with more of this nonsense.
And until then, I've been Elan Sleaze-Boggiano.
And I've got death sticks to punch it. Punch it. Chewy. Sans Chewy, punch it. Punch it.
Thank you.